Tell me, Professor Futzfutz, as a scientist and inventor, I assume you were actively involved in the war effort.
I was. In fact, all of my steam-driven ideas were channeled toward creating infernal devices to bring about a swift end to that terrible war.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Futzfutz, but weren't you the one who invented the death ray?
No, that was a young apprentice of mine. He deserves the death ray credit.
I see. But didn't you invent that strange weapon they called silly spaghetti?
I did. Buckets of silly spaghetti were loaded into cannons and fired at the advancing foot soldiers to trip them up.
Was it effective?
It was. It slowed down their pace somewhat, of course. I thought we'd be at war with the Italians, but we never got to use it on them, I'm sad to say.
Because Italy wasn't at war with England?
Nor with Germany. The spaghetti snappers decided to take on the Austro-Hungarian Empire instead.
I see. Well, you also invented the Mexican jumping grenades.
Oh, yes.
I believe you referred to it as fun with the Huns.
I did.
And you also invented the doomsday device.
Oh, that was never my intention. I told you before it was Lady Chatterley of the Pinkerton Pranksters who insisted I give her blueprints for a bogus doomsday device. I never thought the Huns would actually build one and then use it on us. May we please talk about something else?
I'm sorry you were so sensitive about...
Enough!
Of course. As an historian gathering notes for my scholarly tome on the Not-So-Great War, there is one subject that has never been fully revealed, at least not to the public at large.
And what is that?
Zombies.
Ah, yes. Zombies. Well, let us adjourn to the projector room. This will take some time to explain, Calcutta.
They were real zombies, then?
Real enough.
Were they actually the living dead?
Well, that depends.
Depends upon what?
Upon whether they were dead to begin with.
But what is a zombie? And why were they involved in the Not-So-Great War?
To fully answer that, let me refer you to a conversation I had with our foremost zombie expert, the Hoochie Coochie Man.
Ah, of course. The Coochie Man is from New Orleans, known for its dark voodoo rites.
It so happened that I was with the Coochie Man in a small cafe in Marseille when he first heard about our zombies.
Zombies in Europe? Man, what are zombies doing over here?
Oh, zombies are quite the rage.
What kind of zombies?
Do you mean there are different species?
Oh, I've known all kinds of zombies.
Don't tell me that you have zombies walking around the streets of New Orleans.
Well, you don't see them until after dark.
They fear the light.
No, man. They got jobs during the day.
Your southern zombies work?
That's why we bring them back from the dead. Don't you know that?
You mean it's a cheap form of capitalist labor?
That's right.
Where do they work?
Mostly plantations, but now you're seeing more of them in the cotton mills.
I assume they do not have unions.
No, man. There ain't no unions down south.
No benefits to being a zombie.
None that I've heard of.
But aren't the New Orleanians afraid of being eaten?
By who?
Zombies.
Oh, man. Zombies don't eat people.
Yes, they do. They'll rip off your leg and gnaw it right down to the bone.
Get out of here.
You mean your southern zombies don't like human flesh?
Why would you bring someone back from the dead if all they want to do is eat you?
They must eat something.
Well, they eat bugs, mice, maybe a squirrel.
Squirrel?
If they can catch him. Look, you don't have much appetite when you're dead.
Oh, I see your point.
That's why them zombies are so skinny.
Tell me, Mr. Coochie, I've always been curious. How do you bring them back from the dead?
Black magic.
Oh, come on now. Who believes in magic?
I ain't talking about magic. I'm talking black magic.
As a scientist, I simply cannot accept that.
Well, that's cool. So, where do the Krauts get their zombies?
Ah, now that is a long story.
I got the time.
It all started with director of the Pinkerton Pranksters, Lady Chatterley.
You're telling me that zombies being in the Not-So-Great War was another one of her pranks?
In a sad sense, yes.
Oh, man. That woman not only starts the war, she keeps it going.
It was never her intention, but Like so many well-meaning government bureaucrats, what they do accomplish is rarely what they intended.
I always believed that Lady Chatterley was a brilliant strategist.
And so did she, but unfortunately her strategies tended to get out of hand. Here, let me insert this cylinder, and you'll see for yourself. Lady Chatterley is addressing her new trainees.
Class, as you know, the war has only just begun. At the moment, the Huns have the advantage. They've been preparing while we've been partying. And now, we are desperate to catch up. But catching up is not in our department. We are here to create and dispense misinformation. That is what we do. We are the Pinkerton Pranksters. Yes, Nigel?
What we're doing, isn't it really dirty tricks?
Dirty tricks? That sounds so unsanitary. I prefer the word pranks. Now, today's topic is Penny Dreadful. Is there anyone here who doesn't know what that is? Good. It's nice to know that you all enjoy reading mindless trash. No, I have a secret to reveal. I write for the Penny Dreadfuls. Yes, I do.
What? Surely that cannot be so, Futzfutz.
Ah, but it is.
Do you mean to tell me Lady Chatterley wrote stories that were printed on cheap pulp paper and are read by barely literate working-class adolescents?
Chatterley wrote under the pen name of Lawrence.
Not D.H.
No, L.C. I believe it stood for Lady Chatterley Lawrence.
Now, you may ask yourselves, why would anyone write for a Penny Dreadful? Is it not the lowest of the lowest form of literature? And who are these uneducated, uninformed ignoramuses that can barely read? Who are they? They are the ones who fight our wars!
Fodder.
We do not use that term, Nigel. My point is, penny pulp publication is the perfect place to print misinformation. Everyone loves adventure stories, especially susceptible lower-class juveniles who work in our smoke and soot-spewing factories 14 hours a day. A penny pulp is where they can escape the confines of their dreary, dead-end identities.
But tell me, Futzfutz, why then would...
Wait, there's more.
Hear me now. Do not frown upon fantasy adventure. Fantasy serves a healthy function in our society. I venture to say it's far healthier than our politics.
So where do your zombies come from?
They came from the imagination of Lady Chatterley.
Get out of here. How did she do that?
Well, as I said, it's a long story, Mr. Cushiman.
Can you squeeze it a little?
It was a gas the Krauts concocted that turned peasants into zombies.
Ooh-wee.
The freshly synthesized zombies had an insatiable appetite.
Appetite for what?
For raw human flesh.
Man, that sounds like those Amazon piranhas.
That's an excellent simile, Mr. Coochie Man.
You mean there's zombies out there biting whatever they can get their teeth into?
Frightening as that may sound, apparently that is so.
Man, that's a nasty way to fight a war.
I hear the Americans may be joining us.
Well, I hope we leave our zombies at home.
You don't think a Yankee zombie would be any match for a Prussian zombie?
No way, man. Our zombies are pacifists. It'd be like, hey, Zombro, give me five. And the Kraut Zomb, he says, Yagoot, I take me all five. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Ow, damn, man, why'd you do that?
It's bad enough being dead, but now this, shoot, I want to go home.